We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
We thank the Lord today for we just praise Him and give Him honor and glory because He is worthy to be praised. There's no higher power. There's none that we need to look to besides Him because He's the greatest. My friend, today we're living in perilous times, and as I've often spoke to you concerning these things, and there's other preachers that are doing the same thing, but it seems like that much of it is falling upon deaf ears because the world has come to the place that we're in that the scripture teaches us that they would become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They worship Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. My friend, we're coming to the place to worry in that judgment is going to come upon the sinner and the ungodly. Only them that claims and does keep with the teachings of God's word and believing upon Him through faith in the atoning price that He paid on Calvary's cross, the shedding of His blood. That's the only way we can have remission for our sins is by the blood of Jesus. There's no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. So any other name that is proclaimed for salvation is just false teaching, my friend. It's absolutely wrong. And God has given His authority and His word that there is no other name given among man whereby that we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. So it's up to you and it's up to I that where we believe what the word of God is or we believe in false teachings. There's many false Christs going on around in the world, false teachings, doctrines of devils going along, and they say one thing but do something else, but they're trying to divert the truth of God's word. So be aware, my friend, of these things. That's why it's necessarily that God wants us to have of His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He said He would lead us and guide us into all truth. Then there's 9 gifts of the Spirit that Paul speaks about, and one of them is the discernment of the Spirit. There's a lot of people running around today with things that claiming to be the Holy Ghost. They're jabbering and carrying on and screaming and hollering and whistling and doing all kinds of things and claiming it to be the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has got a language of its own. It's not understandable by the human ear, but it can be if God so desires to have you an understanding with the interpretation that Paul spoke about. Many people today are going about with all these things, and it's 9 times out of 10, it's false. God is not going to tolerate all this stuff, but be made known unto you, my friend, today that there is a gift of tongues, there is a gift of interpretation, but Paul goes and says it at once, 2 or 3. Now, whether that's 3 separate ones or 3 times at one would speak. He said, if there's no interpretation, let him hold his peace and pray to himself. Now, if it's going to be an interpretation, my friend, it's got to come with a reverence to the Spirit of God, giving him space, in other words, time, being still, being quiet, banging on the pianos and plucking on the guitars and all this and the hooping and yelling. If a message is to be given, you should reverence it. Stop and be still and wait for God, the Spirit of God, to move. But nevertheless, that's neither here nor there. But we're living in a time where people have got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's what I'm speaking about. But we come to the place here where we're at today. We see that in the events that are happening over the land, and crucial times is upon us. So as we speak there now, and before we go to prayer, I want you to look at chapter 3 in the book of Joel and read it over while we go to prayer. And then my wife will be on with what the Lord has laid on her heart. And we just praise God for those that have wrote to us, and we thank God for it. And we're glad to hear from you. And it encourages us. My desire, my heart is to encourage you to read your word of the Bible and look unto the Lord, not unto me or some other man, but look unto the Lord for salvation. Because I can't save you, my friend. I can tell you about the one that can, but that's as far as I can go. Jesus is the only one that we have the promise of salvation through his name, not through me or not through no other man. But I want you to just read the book and find out what God has to say. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's pray one for another. Pray for this country. Pray for those that are in harm's way and for our men and women that have done their best to protect us from them ruthless people and everything. And many of them has come home with various different problems, and we need to pray for them. We just pray that God will bless you and keep you in his presence, and as your faith will reach out unto him, that he would reach out unto thee. Father, we thank you today for that wonderful name of Jesus. We praise you and we give you the glory and the honor for all things. For we understand and realize that without you, we can do nothing. But without you, we have no plan of salvation. Without the word becoming God and manifested in the flesh and came and took our sins upon you and nailed them to the cross. He was found without any sin. There was no reason for you to die, but yet they said crucify him. They chose to have another king besides thee. So it put them in perils, but they will come forth in the day that the Lord has spoken, and it will be. And all people that call upon the name of the Lord will have a refuge in that wonderful name. For the scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and are saved. So Lord, we just pray for those that have paid the price for the freedom such as we have here in the United States and wherever else it may have been a benefit to them. We just give you the praise and thank you for those that have gave their life and sacrificed for this part. And we pray for those that have come home with serious problems, lame and blind and in all kinds of problems. We pray that you would help them and bless them, O God, and keep them in thy grace. And we'll give you the praise. We thank you for all things. We give you the praise for all things. And we give you the glory and honor for all that be accomplished. As we send forth thy word unto them that will hear, let them have ears to hear. And we just praise you for all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here's my wife. She's got something the Lord give it to her. And it's Sister Sarah. Praise the Lord.
We greet you this afternoon in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we would be completely lost. And I thank him for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart today. And I want to thank those that have, like Brother Compton said, those that have emailed us. It's a great encouragement for us to go on. I know that there's many who would like to keep us quiet. We're not no doom and gloom ministers, but we want to warn you of the things that are coming upon the world. That every day you look at the newspapers and there's all kinds of things happening everywhere. And I believe that God is trying to get people's attention about all these here, the earthquakes and the storms and everything. I believe God is getting tired of it and he's going to put an end to it one of these days. But our desire is to get you closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And I want to share with you this afternoon what could be worse. Have you noticed how many disasters are occurring each and every day? Some in our nation, some in locations far away, and in places that have never had a disaster. Some may seem minor to us because they don't affect us. We may think to ourselves, what could be worse than a 9/11 attack on America, killing almost 3,000 people and changing our lives forever? Or what could be worse than the damaging storms like Hurricane Katrina, which killed almost 1,800 people? Hundreds of thousands were trapped or displaced. There have been many other hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, fires, and wars. that have killed many times more than Katrina or the attack of 9/11. What could be worse than the Indian Ocean tsunami in 2004? As horrible and devastating as those catastrophes were, God warns us that there's something else coming on the horizon that is far worse than all of these events combined. Many times over, it is called the Great Tribulation. It will be a terrible time for every living thing on the earth, and indeed for the earth itself. Do not think that the attacks during 9/11 were bad, or think that Katrina and the tsunami were bad. As they say, you haven't seen anything yet. The events of the Great Tribulation will be worldwide all at once. There will be killings, confusion, wars, storms, and pandemonium such as never has before been experienced in all of history. Death, wars, starvation, looting, and disease will be everywhere. There'll be new governments and false leaders that promise peace but bring only death and destruction. There is a bright side to the future times to come. This bright spot will be seen and experienced only by a few. For as lightning comes out of the east, shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus, be. And you can read that in Matthew 24:27. Therefore, be you also ready in such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man, Jesus, cometh. Matthew 24:44. When Jesus comes again, he will come for those who are ready, waiting, and looking for him. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Mark 13:26. This hope is reserved for those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And there's only one way. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can read that in Romans 10:9-10. And as we always say, today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, and if you have a red letter, you can look it up in Luke, the 13th chapter, I believe, in the 3rd or 4th verse. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I want to share a few emails here that we received. It says, I'm praising Jesus and thanking him for the great blessings in my life. I love to hear you folks in this program. The truth of Jesus' life must be heard. Spread to those who need it so badly. There's another one. I'm writing in Australia, and I listen to you on GlobeSat. We've always liked good Christian programming, but your broadcast touches our lives so very much. Bless you and yours. And we have one from England. I am waiting for my Lord because I know he will make all things better. And I'm with that sister, that all things will be better when Jesus comes back. And if you would like to write to us, the post office box is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272. Tampa, Florida, 33682. But if you would like to write to us, email us to ecompton31@yahoo.com. And every week I do a little bulletin that I'll be glad to share with you, send it to you. Won't cost you a dime. It's just something that you can share with others. And you can write to me on the email, or you can write to me at the post office box. But we are heard 24/7 on PhoenixBroadcasting.com, 24/7, and you can go in there and you can hear us since 2012. Everybody carries around an iPad, a smartphone, or whatever. So I want to share with you. It's a little cute thing, but it has a lot of meaning. But there was a little boy who was carrying his iPad. He ran up to his pastor and said, "Pastor, can you give me God's email address? I need to ask him something." Pastor replied, "My child, God does not have an email address. He will only answer to Nemail." So that's the only way that you can get in contact with God is on Nemail or raising your voice and talking to him. You don't have to use fancy words or anything. Talk to him like he's your best friend, because he is. In the name of Jesus, here, brother.
Praise the Lord. Sometimes she gets excited. But you know, to really to know the Lord in the power of his resurrection and in his truth is something to be excited about. Knowingly that these days that we live in is perilous times, as it is recorded in Timothy, and we know that these things are happening around and about us, that all these things that are happening, my friend, is all wrote in the scriptures. In the last days, he said that these things would happen. But did you realize that the last days didn't begin yesterday? They started way back before probably you and I was ever born. As Joel spoke about, he said, "In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit." And these things happened somewhere 1900 years ago or better. And when Peter stood up and when they asked him about these things, he said, for them how could they be saved? He said, "Repent, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And my friend, I'm not one to beg you out of your prosperity that God's blessed you with and counting on you to plant your seed in my garden. The seed that God was speaking about was the Word of God. When Jesus told them there about the sower went out, and he there in Matthew the 13th chapter in the 18th verse, he said, "Now therefore you parable of the sower," he went out, and the Word of God is to be the seed that he was speaking about. Not that you send someone a whole bunch of money and everything and expecting a whole bunch in return, but my friend, today, I know it cost us money to be on these televisions and everything, and I don't have that kind of money, so I'm not on TV, but it costs me for these things that we're in that we come to you, but that's beside the point. I'm after sowing a seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To sow it into your heart, not into my wallet or into some other thing or something, but into your heart, that you would believe on the Word of God and accept it. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible and to see what it has to say, not relying upon the man from wherever he may be and just take his word verbatim for it, but look into the scripture to see whether he's preaching the gospel or he's coming with something else. Now, you can understand that the Bible enough to know that the seed that God's speaking about was the seed of the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, if you will understand it. But in Joel, in the third chapter, said, "For behold, in those days and in the time when I shall bring again the captive of Judah and Jerusalem, it will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them for my people and for my inheritance, Israel. For they have scattered them among the nations and parted their lands, and they have cast lots for any people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold the girl for drink, the wine that they may drink. Send to me, O Sidon and Zion, and to all the coast of Palestine,
Will you render me a recompense? And if you speedily, I will return your recompense upon your own head. Now, friends, if we look in that, these Palestinians is claiming the place that God gave to the children of Israel back in Abraham's days. And it's his land and his people. The Palestinians fought them back then, and God put a curse on them then, and it's been there ever since. They're not going to win this war, as they surmise they will. And all these year, other groups that comes along, this Isaac and all these other people that are going against God's people, God's going to bring them to the judgment place and worry in that he called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. There he's going to plead, but they're so determined that their God is going to help them to win the battle till they're going to come up and try to fight against God himself. Well, he warns them. He said, go tell the Gentiles to beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Prepare for the battle. Come up. But this battle is going to be futile. If you read what the scripture says in many places, when God fought for Israel, Israel won the battle. God stirred the people and turned them up. Some of them even killed them on selves and ran like bees was after them, because that's what he put in there. Their camps was hornets, and they chased them away. You see, God has a plan that he's going to follow through. Whether you and I are in the plan or not, it's not going to change it a bit. But if we can be in the plan of salvation, then God's going to make it all right with us. You may suffer some persecution. You may even be put to death for the gospel's sake. But the thing of it is, as Paul spoke about in Corinthians, he said, though I be dead, yet shall I live. And God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So if you die for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they may kill the body. But don't be afraid of that, my friend, as the scripture says. But fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's what he's going to do with these non-believers and these that persecute his people. Now, if you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't necessarily have to be born a national Jew, but you have become a spiritual Jew, and you've been grafted into the true vine, which is Christ Jesus. The natural Jew was broken off as the true vine. It was broken off to where you and I could be grafted into it. So we're going to be a part of the kingdom of God. We're going to be in an inheritance with Jesus Christ. He's only going to have one fold, and they're going to be made up of different nationalities. He didn't come into this world to die for just one group of people, but he came into this world to die for them that would believe and trust in him and calling upon his name through faith in the atoning price that he paid for us is his blood that he shed. Because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. The blood that was shed of animals and those back in the old times in the Old Testament, it didn't save those people. It just pushed your sins back a little bit. But God had a plan from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was the lamb from the foundation of the world. Some people says that Jesus was not perfect until his crucifixion. Well, that's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. He was perfect and upright. When he stood before the judgment of the Gentiles, they found no fault in him. As Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I find no reason he should die. But they turned around and says, crucify him. They found fault in him, but it was all false accusers. But my friend, let me tell you that one day that if the world's going to stand before God, all of these that have persecuted his people and divided his land and hauled off his things into false teachings and false gospels, like the silver and the gold that some of these people are collecting out for their own benefits and buying them wealth of this world and everything, it's going to go up in smoke. And where is that person that gathered all this stuff unto himself? Where is he going to be? Only God knows. But my friend, I wouldn't want to be around him there and be subject into his part. But because I believe he's going to go in defeat myself. And that's my personal belief. Any that goes against the true teaching of God's word is going to fall into defying against God. fighting against him and everything. These people is going to come up, and as he told them, to gather them all up in the book of Joel there. He said, gather them all around and come up. Bring them all up to the armies to gather them in. And he would bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, a judgment place, in other words, if you will. And he's going to say unto them there, he's going to plead for his people. He's going to ask them to give him a recompense and apologize, in other words, repent. But they're not, because of the simple fact that they believe that their God's able to destroy the true God, because they believe the lies that the devil has imparted, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden there, when he said, you will surely not die. But Adam lived to be over 600 years old, but he died spiritually. So now, are you going to live in the atmosphere of this world and do all the things that the world has to offer to you and not have any spiritual application of God in your life? You're dead. Without my spirit, you're none of mine, according to the scripture. And you got to be born again in order to receive of this spirit. Because Joel plainly made it simple there, that he would pour out of his spirit. On the day of Pentecost, it came. And it did. And I know some of you orthodox, some people out there said, did you have the Pentecostal experience? Did you hear that rushing wind? Did you clothe in tongues of fire set upon your head? Well, I ain't going to argue with you, stupid, because the thing of it is, I had the Pentecostal experience. No, it wasn't the sound of a rushing wind and clothing tongues of fire, but I know my God reigns in my heart because he's in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, if you want to believe that, what other people have come up with, that's your privilege. But believe what the Word of God says. There's been many false preachers out there, false teachers, antichrist. They are against that. Anyone that comes up and says, Christ did not come, Jesus didn't come in the flesh, is an antichrist, and he's going to go down in defeat, plain and simple. The devil is going to cast him into hell. Well, he's going to be cast into hell with the devil and all those other false preachers. My friend, when man comes to set himself up to be the ultimate authority, like so many have, you got to get their permission to do this or do that, and to buy a house or to get married or to buy an automobile or buy a new suit of clothes, you got to get that man's permission to do so. Don't believe all that junk. God has gave you a blessing if you have received it, and God has blessed you to be able to have these things. Now, I don't say that you need to lust after it, but if you need a new suit, you don't have to get my permission. That's already given to you. That's your permission that God gave you, your own freedom right. And you want to buy a new automobile, if you can afford it, then that's your privilege. You don't have to get man's thing about it. But always do this, my friend. Ask God. If you believe in him, say, Lord, if it's your will, I'll do this or I'll do that. But if it's not your will, Lord, help me to understand. Give me that. Help me to make that choice, but be your will be done. As Mary said when the angel of the Lord came to her and said she would be conceived, and she said, how is this going to be when I know not a man? He said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And she knew that under the rules and regulations of the Jewish nation at that time, if a young girl was found with child and not being married, they would take her out and stone her. But she knew this, but she said, be it unto me as your will be. In other words, as you say, let it be as according to your will. And it was so by. But Joseph, he wanted to put her aside. He didn't want to see her stoned, but nevertheless. But when the Lord spoke to him, you see, God can speak to you if you just listen for it. He don't come in a clap of thunder. As the prophet was in the cave, Elijah was there hiding from Jezebel. He listened for the voice of the Lord, but he had the rocks broke and the fires flowed and all this windstorm and all these here calamities happened and everything. But God wasn't in it. But when he heard God speak to him, it was a small, still voice. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he went on, I'm hiding. That's about what it amounted to. She promised she's going to kill me and all these things. And he forgot how God protected him, how he brought him forth, and how that the things that he'd done, how he fed him at the brook Kilimanjaro, and how he brought him into the widow's house, and how he sustained them until right. People forget about the blessings of God, and they lean towards man's teaching. Put your seed in my bank account and watch my bank account grow. But he don't tell you that. It says plant your seed in everything. It's what he's amounting to. Give your money to me in my ministry, and you will be blessed of God. How many of you received them thousands and millions of dollars because you put $150 or $300 into those things? I don't hear too much of that. But nevertheless, God is sovereign, and he will bless his people according to their faith in him. He gives you good health. You've been blessed. That's more than money can buy. It's many things that God will give to you that you don't recognize simply because it don't come in the form of dollar bills. But I want you to understand, my friend, one day we all going to give an account, as is those people, just as I will. And we're going to give account for the things that we have done in this life. But listen to what he said. Joel, chapter 3 there, and he says to going on, and he said in the fifth verse, he said, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into temples my godly thing, pleasant things, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem, you have sold into the Gashans, and you might remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will turn them to return you your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the people of Judah, and they shall sell them into Sabin and to the people afar off, for the Lord God has spoken it. Proclaim this among the Gentiles. That's where you and I fit, my friend. If you hadn't been born again, if God looks at you, you're a Gentile. But if you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, you become grafted into the true vine, which is Jesus Christ, and you could consider yourself to being a spiritual Jew. Born again means repent of your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord and receiving of the atoning price that he paid for you there, shedding of his blood there at Calvary, taking yours and my sins upon him and nailing them to the cross. He became sin for you and I that he might deliver us from the sins of the flesh, nailing them to the cross. And if you believe this, you can be saved. And if you don't believe it, then there's no hope for you. He says, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's what he told the scribes and the Pharisees there, the people of Israel. And they did not believe when the man said, what will I do with your king, the king of the Jews? He said, we have only one king, and that's Caesar is our king. Away with this man, crucify him. But he didn't find no fault in him. He didn't find no reason he should die. So he was passed a judgment was upon them that had him crucified. They crucified him, true enough, but he was to fulfill the promise that God had gave to Abraham. Out of Abraham's seed, Isaac came, and therefore out of them that came redemption, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God manifested in the flesh. Honey, you couldn't take the spiritual God, a God that can't not be seen, but he can dwell in your life. You couldn't nail that to a cross. But when he manifested himself in the flesh, as he told Mary, she would bring forth a son. The word was spoke in her womb, and she brought forth a son. God manifested in the flesh, as the scripture says, and he died for yours and my sins. It's so-and-so out there wanting your money didn't die for you, my friend. All he wants is his big fancy lifestyle, and he's getting it from you. You may be doing without what you need, and what God has blessed you with, you've cast it into the hog pen with the swines, and they are rendering you, and they are every day, every night on the TV. I don't say that all of them's doing it, but there's a majority of them. When he comes there to plant your seed, sow your seed, be careful. Read your word of God, what Jesus had to say about your seed. And you are planted into the word of God is the seed that we're in. The enemy come along and planted tares in there. So that's where they're at. They're coming along and taking your wealth and your money, what God's blessed you with, and making them rich where they can buy their $1 million mansions, their fine automobiles, their airplanes, and ride around in them and with their suits of fancy apparel and everything, that because they've done it, because you was ignorant to believe that they would bless you, that God's going to pour out you. He ain't going to pour you out a blessing when you're giving to your benefit that he'd already provided for you when you're giving it away to false teacher. Believe me, my friend, you're going to reap the whirlwind. If you trust in the Lord and believe in him and find you an ample place of where the truth of God's word is being taught, and you go with that and pay your tithes to it, then God will bless you. But them that's on TV, most of them and everything, they just after your money. And my friend, it's not right. But nevertheless, we got to understand, and you might say, well, Brother Compton, you're gloom and doom. No, the Bible says that these things will happen. And I'm trying to bring your attention to these things to worry and that you can flee from the wrath to come. God's going to pour out his wrath upon the son of the ungodly one of these days. And them that don't know him is going to perish. But them that know him is going to be brought into his kingdom. Them that have been born again of the water and of the spirit. Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees. He was supposed to be a religious man. But when he came to Jesus and asked him, how can a man enter into the kingdom? He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not, except you be born again, you can nowise enter into the kingdom of God. He thought, how can a man, when he's old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? My friend, you can't do that. That's senseless to believe that. That's a futile thought. It's of the flesh, carnal, spiritually born. You become born again of the water and of the spirit. That's what God was speaking about. Turn away from your sins and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, seeking after other things other than the kingdom of God. And you receive that gift that he's promised us. You be born again. And Christ in us, the hope of glory, receiving of the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Oh, my friend, today it's so much better. It's not to say that if you're born again and you become a believer in God and you know that your sins are under the blood, it's not to say that you're going to have everything in a bed of roses and everything's not is going to be peaches and cream. You're going to have trials. Bible says you would. In this life, you will have trials and tribulation. It's spoken of in the Word. But the only way that I see, according to the Word, that a man can get out of these things, even if he's killed for the gospel's sake, he's going to inherit eternal life. And the only way you're going to have eternal life, and it's not with the material things of this life that you can offer to God, but it's praise and worship, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, truly giving God praise and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. You can't get there no other way. Silver and gold is not going to buy you a way into the kingdom of God. These things are material things, according to the scripture, will all perish. They'll go up in smoke, in other words. If you will just go back to the scriptures of in Noah's time, when God destroyed the world by water, Noah and them carried in the necessary things that they needed that God provided for them and told them to carry into the ark. And when God was there, he said, Noah, come into the ark. He brought his family in with him, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, and the animals. God had them come into the ark. He made provisions for them that they would have something to sustain them during that voyage. My friend, but when it was over with, they came out, and you see what happened. We came into existence, and all these things that, and Nimrod, he come to think he was to be something great, and he got the people all together to build a tower, and it became Babel, because that their language was distorted by God, and they scattered them across. He didn't intend for them to stay there and make one world ruling kingdom. He wanted to be about and use him for a king, that he would be the ruling king over all of the earth. But they come to the place to where in that they thought that one man ought to do it all. And Hitler tried it, Mussolini tried it, Stalin tried it, and all these other people tried it, and it became futile. My friend, and any man that goes to trying to make that he is superior, he's after the kingdom of the devil, because the God of this world has blinded his mind and seared his conscience with a hot iron to think that he's more than God. He's a lost man. He's going to go down in defeat. And many have tried it. But you know what they do? They'll get a group together that thinks like they do, and he persuade them to do that like Hitler did with that group of Gestapo, and he brought them in to believing and thinking his thoughts. And if everybody didn't follow in his lead and do what he wanted to, he'd send one of them henchmen out there to kill them. Well, that put a fear into people, so they said, well, we may as well go with him, probably. Put a fear into people. Some of these people in the world today is trying to put a fear in God's people. But, honey, it don't work. Not with me, it does. Now, I don't know about you. If some man comes and tells you, pastor of a church or something, that has said, you can't do nothing unless I give you my approval, that man's wrong. And if you obey him, you're going to be wrong. It's just like with the false teachings in the old harlot church, telling them this and telling them that. You got to come out and believe what the Word of God has to say. We need to come to the truth of God's Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. There ain't no other doctrine that I can find that would give you hope outside of Jesus Christ. I've read through the Bible, and I just hadn't found no other name. And these other names that are given, if people come up to worship and everything, it's all futile. It's useless, because it ain't going to stand and hold water. They've hewed them out citrons out of places with holes in them that won't hold water. It's like the day that we're living in today, Laodicean church, where people rule in the matters. They say, well, we don't want to have church but one or two days a week. And they shut the doors most of the time, because man rules. But I want you to think about it, my friend. If God is ruling in our hearts, if we will obey him and come to the place that we're in, that we'll listen to him, we're going to find revival come forth. But we hadn't had a revival across the land, a real true revival across the land, since Azusa Street. Oh, there's been revivals. But even in these last few days, now down in my area here, you mentioned revival to people. Oh, the people he's just not interested. They have to get up too early to go to work. But they don't mind sitting and watching a ball game for 4 or 5 hours on Sunday night. And they close the doors to the church to where they can do these things. They become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They seek after to please the flesh rather than the calling upon the name of the Lord. But let me tell you, when all these things come to befall us upon this, to which the Word of God says that they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to hide them from him that sits on the throne. They're going to call it, throw all their wealth and their belongings into the dens with the bats, the caves with the bats and all them things. Where are you going to be that if you don't know the Lord? You're going to be in that lost crying out, Lord, let the rocks fall over us and hide us from him that sat on the throne. But my friend, there's a way out. Calling upon the name of the Lord by repentance. Repenting of your sins. Turn around and not commit sin. Let God help you. Come into your life. He will help you and sustain you and help you to overcome these things. But without him, you can do nothing. And without him, you're lost. Without him, you would be perished, and you'd be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So it's time we wake up to the realization God's word is truth, and it's going to be fulfilled. And it's going to come the time, and not very far down the road, it's going to come the time to where he spoke about when that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed and he has died, when he stands in the place where, a holy place where he ought not, my friend, he's not going to be able to stand in that temple, the Jewish temple, until that temple is reconstructed. I believe it will be, but he told John to measure the temple. He said, but don't measure the courts without, because it's given unto the Gentiles for a period of time, 42 months. And Palestinians over there and all them other people that against Israel is trying to destroy them, they're going to work on it. They're going to do it until God says it's enough and he's going to perish. They're going to perish. They try to take everything by the sword and they're going to perish by the sword. God's going to send in a demise against them and they're going to fall by the edge of the sword as they have killed many of God's people. And it's just not simply the Jewish people. They're against you if you believe in Jesus Christ because they've got other gods on their mind. And they're going to bring forth persecution on the things. These things that God speaks about is an abomination in his sight. And these judges and these lawyers that's going and standing in the defense of these same-sex marriages and everything, when God said it's abomination in his sight, and they're going to favor it and cause it to be so, they're going to serve the God of this world, and God's going to come in and serve his time upon them, and they're going to perish because he said, them people are worthy of death, and them that have favor with them. So hear me, old people. Listen to the word of God. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word exclusively for it. I wouldn't tell you, not intentionally tell you anything that the Bible didn't say. But there are some preachers out there is after whatever they can get out of you. It's been a known fact. They come and say, well, God's anointed me to heal, to preach. And so far, they do it a little bit, but then they show their true colors. They run off with all the money and steal something or other from you or get some other woman that they ain't got no business with and they run off with them. They show that really what they are in their hearts. So you don't believe every wind of doctrine that comes down. Everything that comes toting the Bible under his arm, they may not be of God. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Find out what the Word of God has to say about the God of this world and how he operates. The devil is the God of this world. And he operates deceivingly. He deceived Eve, and he's real cunning. And he's got all the answers, but they're wrong. But he'll deceive you to believe that he's got all the right answers. And if you will do what he wants you to do, you're going to fall into a well of wealth, you know, a river of honey. All you got to do is kill somebody, and you'll have all these things that some infidel. And them people that's teaching this here, the infidels themselves, because they don't believe in the true God. They believe in a false teaching, a false God. They're infidels. My friend, it's time we wake up to the realize that the word of God is going to be fulfilled. And some of the things that it's going to happen, it's not particularly I like in the flesh, but understanding in the spirit, it must be. And God's going to bring it to pass. But as long as I'm hid in that wonderful name of Jesus, in that strong tower, even though some of them ideological ideas and them false teachers comes along and they may behead me or whatever they do to the body, but blessed be the name of the Lord. They can't do anything with the soul. But God is the only one that can destroy it. He allowed the devil to tempt Job in many ways, took his wealth, took his family, and even had his wife to persecute him. Why don't you cuss God and die? He said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He kept his integrity with God. He didn't curse God. Many people today is cursed God, and they're not in the predicament that Job was in, but they curse God. Them there that believes, it says that there is no God, them atheists, let something other get really wrong with him and find out differently if you stand around him close. He'll call on somebody. But the Bible says only a fool would say that there's no God. So the first day of April is April Fool. It's for them, I suppose. But nevertheless, believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only salvation we have. And we begin to read that if we would only believe what the word has to say, and he said that these things are going to be, and we got to believe what God has given the report of. As Isaiah penned, and he said, who has believed the report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord was revealed in Jesus Christ, because in him all of the fullness of the Godhead dwelt according to the scriptures, without controversy, as Paul penned into Timothy there. 3:16, he said, without controversy. It's no sense of you arguing with me or me arguing with you about it. He said that God was manifested in the flesh. Yours and my argument otherwise is not going to prove and not going to change the fact. God was manifested in the flesh, came into his own received him not, but to them that would receive him, he gave them power to become sons of God. And the only way you can become the sons of God is through the renewing of your heart, through the mind of the Spirit of God, through and being born again and receiving Christ in your life. That's the only way. Then you can be into the kingdom of God. You can't buy your way in it, and you can't fight your way in it. You got to believe in the Lord. You got to accept him as your personal Savior. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Just raising your hand and some ball stadium somewhere or another and saying, repeat after the man that's up there on the platform said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and you're on your way to glory. Well, if you believe all that kind of stuff, my friend, well, you'll believe most anything. Bible says, except you repent and except you believe, except you receive of him, of the engrafted word of God, except you be born of the water and of the spirit, you will in no wise enter there. You can't even see it. My friend, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Raising your hand and with 60,000 people in a stadium somewhere or another and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And you walk out of that stadium and go on down the road and do whatever your old fleshly desire to do. You ain't been born again. Being born again means to be repent. Repentance means to turn away from sin and the things of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're out honky-tonking around and running after this skirt tail and that one and everything, drinking and carousing around. You ain't been born again. You're still following after the god of this world, the devil, the flesh. You're pleasing it. But when you go to following after the Spirit of God, you're pleasing God, and God will help you. You may come to the place where you'd be persecuted. I have. But I know that by these things that happen, that I'm different because Christ made the difference in me. In that forth, I know that I've been born again and I received of his Spirit that brought me out. I wasn't always a Christian. I walked on both sides of the fence, you might say. But when God got my attention to know the reality in serving God, been a long time ago, but I have found him to be faithful. I found that his word is truth. I found that he is my only hope of salvation. I found in his word that I can have eternal life through faith, believing and trusting in him, and I can receive the promise that he has given to me, a life eternally. Into the place that he said, I'll go and prepare for you a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe that. If I didn't believe it, my friend, I wouldn't be talking to you about it. I'd be out there with the rest of the world doing whatever the old flesh desired to do, like I used to years ago. But thanks be unto God that I repented of my sin and allowed him to come into my life. And Jesus made a difference. As some of the old boys I used to run around with on the other side of the fence, and when they come along and they ask me, says, Earl, you don't run with us, you don't do this and everything no more. What happened? I said, Jesus makes the difference. My friend, let God come into your heart. Believe what the Word of God said. Read your Bible and find out what it has to say. and repent, taking on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, being baptized in his name, receiving of his spirit, born again experience, it'll make a big difference in your life. So if you want to write to us, and we pray the message had been a help, and getting you closer to Jesus as the days of his coming is closer than we realize. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Write to us as the address has been given unto you, if you choose to. But I want you to know we're here to help you in any way we can. It's for the glory of God and not for the wealth of the material things of this life. So God bless you until next time as we come to the close of this time, and we'll give God the glory and the praise for all things and take time out of your schedule to give Jesus some praise and honor. God will bless you, my friend, in so many ways that it's like pouring out, open up the windows of heaven and pouring out those blessings if you believe and trust in. May God richly bless you. Pray for us as we pray one for another. May God bless you until next time.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believe. My chains are